Blog Talk Radio.
I just wanna make it to heaven. I just wanna make it in. I just wanna cross that river,
my Lord.
I wanna be free from sin. Oh, oh, oh. I just want my name written, oh Lord, written in the Lamb's book of life. When this life is over, woo! Just wanna have eternal life, Lord. Oh, I wanna hear you say, I wanna hear you say, oh,
oh.
And I wanna hear you say, woo!
Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and this is Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, August 2nd, 2021. And as always, we begin each program with the word of prayer. Hallelujah. Because we want to give God the glory in all that we do. So please bow your hearts with me as we go to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now to your throne of grace, just thanking you for yet another opportunity to go out before your people. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would use this teaching to equip, encourage, empower, and instruct your people. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if someone is listening that does not know you in the pardon of their sin, that today would be the day that they would come and ask you to be their Lord and their Savior. I ask you now that I decrease so that you might increase. Have your way, O God. In Jesus' name I do pray it all. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thanks to God. Tonight's program is entitled, Will You Hear Jesus Say? Well done. Now, as a child of God, we have all been uniquely created, gifted, shaped, and molded by God as he has purposed and gifted us with an expression of his Holy Spirit to support his vision and mission of the church. Now, the Lord and his purposes are perfect, and we must realize, thanks to God, as much as we don't might not want to, we are not. And sometimes we get busy going and doing, and you know, we're so busy doing the busy stuff, the busy church work, that it keeps us from actually living out the purposes that God has established for us. But the Bible assures us that the Lord has created us and given us all a purpose. And once God has given us that purpose for our lives, we need to know and understand that there is nothing that anyone can say or do to change that. You know, again, we need to really take the time to figure out what our purpose is. Truly is, because so many times we get driven by the demands of life that we forget that God has a greater purpose. And our purpose, saints, is not only to encompass our lives, but it is to empower and impact every life around us, whether it be at our homes, in our schools, at work, in our neighborhood, or our communities. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, today it seems that many Christians are far more concerned about what they're being called more than the calling or purpose itself. Oh, they are quick to tell you that they are an apostle, a pastor, or an evangelist, whether there is any actual evidence of them walking in it or not. Now, Jesus has indeed called and sent some to be gifts to the body of believers. But God has called every Christian to be a witness for him in this world. So the question becomes, will God find you faithful? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Because well done, my good and faithful servant, is another one of those statements that was made by Jesus that is often quoted, but many times it's quoted out of context and with the wrong application. And you know what that does? It causes many Christians to look at their lives and question their worthiness. You see, it takes the focus off the purpose, and they begin to wonder whether or not they're being a good and faithful servant. They're beginning to wonder if they will hear Jesus say, well done, or if Jesus will rebuke them as a wicked and lazy servant. Now, before I explain this, let me say that no Christian should have this concern. And I want you to bear with me until the end as we examine the context and the meaning of what Jesus said to fully understand why a Christian will never hear or should never hear, you wicked and lazy servant. Because it is vitally important that a Christian understands the passage about the good and faithful servant and the wicked and lazy servant. If you go in order to determine whether or not you're going to hear Jesus say, well done. Now, Well done, my good and faithful servant, are the words that Jesus spoke in the parable in Matthew chapter 25. Now, in order to understand the words in context, we need to back up to chapter 24 of Matthew. Now, remember that there were no chapters or verses in the original manuscripts. Chapters were not added until the 13th century, and verses were added until like some of the 16th century. So it is very important to read any passage of scripture in the broader context and with the consideration of the historical setting and the message being presented at the time. Now, for the essence of time, I'm just going to run through Matthew 24. And where we can see in chapter 24 of Matthew, Jesus then left the temple. And as he walked away, his disciples pointed out how very impressive the temple architecture was. And Jesus said, "You're not impressed by all the sheer size, are you? Because the truth of the matter is that there's not a stone in that building that is not going to end up in a pile of rubble." That's what he told them. Now, down in chapter 3, later he was sitting on Mount Olives, and his disciples approached and asked him. And they said, "Tell us, when are these things going to happen? What will be the sign of your coming, that the time's up?" Verse 4 through 8, Jesus said, "Watch out for the doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, 'I am the Christ, the Messiah.' They will deceive a lot of people. When reports come in of wars and rumors of wars, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history. This is no sign of the end. Nation will fight nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Famines and earthquakes will occur in various places. This is nothing compared to what is coming." Then over down at verse 9 and 10, Jesus tells them, "They're going to throw you to the wolves and kill you, everyone hating you because you carry my name." And then going from bad to worse, it will be a dog eat dog, everyone at each other's throat, everyone will be hating each other. And in the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it till the end. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. All during this time, the good news or the message of the kingdom will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then the end will come. Then around chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus tells them this. "But be ready to run for it when you see the monster of desecration set up in the temple sanctuary." The prophet Daniel described this. Now, if you read Daniel, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you're living in Judea at the time, run for the hills. If you're working in the yard, don't return to the house to get anything. If you're out in the field, don't go back and get your coat. Pregnant and nursing mothers will have it especially hard. Hope and pray this won't happen during the winter or on a Sabbath. Then he goes on to tell them in verse 21 through 22. Jesus is sitting here prophesying up a storm. He said, "This is going to be trouble on a scale beyond what the world has ever seen or will see again. If these days of trouble were left to run their course, nobody would make it. But on account of God's chosen people, the trouble will be cut short." 23 through 25, "If anyone tries to flag you down calling out, 'Here's the Messiah,' or points, 'There he is,' don't fall for it. Fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. Their impressive credentials and the witching performances will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. But I've given you fair warning. So if they say, 'Run to the country to see him arrive,' or 'Quick, get downtown, see him come,' don't give them the time of day. The arrival of the Son of Man isn't something you're going to see. He comes like swift lightning to you. Whenever you see crowds gathering, think of the carrion vultures circling, moving in, hovering over a rotting carcass. You can be quite sure that it's not the living Son of Man pulling in those crowds. Following those hard times, sun will fade out, moon cloud over, stars fall out of sky, cosmic powers tremble. Then the arrival of the Son of Man. It will fill the skies. No one will miss it. Unready people all over the world, outsiders to the splendor and power, will raise a huge lament as they watch the Son of Man blazing out of the heavens. At that same moment, he'll dispatch his angels with a trumpet blast summons, pulling in God's chosen from four winds, from pole to pole. Take a lesson from the fig tree. From the moment you notice its buds form, the mere tint of green, you know summer's just around the corner. So it is with you. When you see all these things, you'll know he's at the door. Don't take this lightly. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for all of you. This age continues until all these things take place. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But the exact day and hour, no one knows that. Not even heaven's angels. Not even the Son. Only the Father knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day of Noah boarded that ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay awake, alert. You have no idea what day your master will show up. But you do know this. You know that if the homecomers had known what time of the night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Be vigilant, just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up. Who here qualifies for the job of overseeing the kitchen? A person the master can depend on to feed the workers on time each day? Someone the master can drop in on unannounced and always find him doing his job? A God-blessed man or woman, I tell you, it won't be long before the master will put this person in charge of the whole operation. But if that person only looks out for himself, and the minute the master is away does what he pleases, abusing the help and throwing drunken parties for his friends, the master is going to show up when he least expects it. And it won't be pretty. He'll end up in the dump with the hypocrites, out in the cold, teeth chattering. Now, I read that from the Message Bible for a reason. I wanted you to get a good feel of what we're looking at. Then, through the words of now. And I want you to note that in this chapter, Jesus was speaking privately to his disciples. Now, they had asked Jesus about when the end of time would come, and Jesus responded first by warning them that they can't be deceived. Then, as you see, he began to prophesy, and he told them of events that would reveal the coming end. And he ended finally by warning them to be ready. Now, the closing passage in Matthew, found in verse 32, is referred to as the parable of the fig, and it is a prophecy about the nation of Israel. It is not about the church. Hallelujah. The parable of the fig tree in this passage tells of the events that will take place in the 70th week of Daniel. The time that is commonly called the tribulation. It is the time of Jacob or Israel's trouble, not the church's trouble. Again, the foretold and yet future 70th week of Daniel, as recorded in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, is about Israel. And you can also find that witness in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. So, understanding that the chapter 24 of Matthew is about Israel, not the church, take note that it discloses with Jesus distinguishing between two very different servants. A faithful servant who is blessed and will be made to rule. As we look, as you heard in verses 45 through 47. And the evil servant who will be cut in two and will be given his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, clearly Jesus was telling of one servant being glorified, which when he said blessed and made to rule, and the other being condemned. And you can tell about that by the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And that is always descriptive of a phrase in existence for those who have been condemned. Now we move on to Matthew 25. Now as we move into chapter 25 again, I want you to remember there are no chapter breaks. This chapter is just a continuation of Jesus' words. He's talking his conversation he's having with his 12 disciples. And again, we see that warning in Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You see, again, Jesus is continuing to prophesy by speaking with in another parable. And for those of you that might not be familiar with what a parable is, Jesus used common day things that people knew and understand to explain a deeper and more spiritual and a spiritual principle. And in any parable, we need to discern who the characters represent and what the application is for those hearing the parable, just like in Matthew 24. Matthew 25 is about Israel in the end times, not the church. So let's break down Matthew 14 through 25, verses 14 through 35, which is called the parable of the talent. Huh. Okay. Hallelujah. Matthew 25, 14 through 15. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He came to the earth far from heaven, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Results, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on his journey. So all the servants were given talents. So the parable continues by explaining in detail what each of the 3 servants did with their own gifts. Matthew 25:16-18. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. 2 servants received the gifts and put them to good use, multiplying their worth. The 3rd did nothing with their gift. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said unto them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The 3rd servant. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Wow. You know, many Christians express their fear that they will not be like one of the first two servants. We're all, you know, so many are afraid that they won't hear, well done. They're always afraid that they're going to hear, you wicked and lazy servant. I've always wondered why Christians fear this. Well, I've come to the conclusion that it's because they believe that they haven't done enough. They believe they haven't served enough, evangelized enough, prayed enough, read the Bible enough. So a lot of us are getting hung up and stumbling because of what we fear. But let's continue. What was the talent? Well, the talent, it was the goods the man, who is Jesus, had delivered to his servants, Israel. We define the goods as that which Jesus brought from the far country, which was heaven, and gave to Israel. See, the goods would be the words and the works and ultimately the saving grace of Jesus. Now, you need to understand something. This parable was spoken to Israel under a different covenant. The old covenant was done away with, and we now live under the new covenant according to Hebrews 8 and 13. You see, before the cross, prior to the Jesus' payment for the sin of mankind, God's redemptive relationship was through his people, Israel, under a very different covenant. Before the cross, sin was atoned for with the blood of animals, and atonement had to be made over and over again. After the cross, our sin was completely paid for by Jesus' pure blood. When Jesus proclaimed it is finished, in John 19 and 30, he was letting us know our debt for our sin had been completely paid. No more payments had to be made. So after the cross, no Christian should ever hear, you wicked and lazy servant, because in reading further, we read very specific consequences for the wicked, lazy servant. Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is clearly condemnation of the soul to hell to spend the eternity apart from God. That's all that's saying right there. It just means you're going to be forever condemned to hell to spend eternity apart from God. Now, saints, this cannot be about a Christian, because Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has promised to all that believes on him, well, they're going to be saved and have eternal life. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth on him shall be saved and have everlasting life. If a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. So thanks to God, what we need to understand about this scripture right here was a different time, a different message, and a different context. So in context, the words Jesus spoke were spoken to the nation of Israel under the old covenant. Now, covenant. In context, Jesus was teaching on the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom at hand at that time. Not a kingdom at hand at that time, but a kingdom yet to come during the time we live. Now, that is reference to a millennial kingdom that is in the future. You know, Jesus was judging those who served him at a different time. So we've addressed one, so let's look at 2 and 3. The kingdom of heaven does not exist on earth at this time. It is a literal, physical kingdom that was at hand nearby when Jesus walked the earth. Had Israel received their Messiah shortly after Jesus would have set up his kingdom on earth. They did not, and the kingdom on earth is yet to come. However, there is a spiritual kingdom that exists now, which is the kingdom of God. Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's a spiritual kingdom. Jesus is the king of his kingdom, and he reigns spiritually in the hearts of all believers. All believers are united in his kingdom by the indwelling and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But this is not the kingdom of heaven. It will come when Jesus returns to earth, and in that kingdom, talents will be given to those who serve the king. And how they use those gifts will demonstrate their faith in the king, their love for the king, and their trust in his will and ways. Those who multiply their gifts demonstrate a relationship of knowing and trusting King Jesus. But those who hide their gifts are those who said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. So I can see from these verses, and I hope you can too, that an unfaithful servant doesn't know Jesus, let alone trust or love him. So he's going to try to go and hide all his talent in the ground. And I should also be remembered that all people were born to serve God. But God gives all of us free will choice. Jesus' words in Matthew 25 are telling how people will be judged for their works of serving him. The faithful servants will be rewarded and the unfaithful condemned. The faithful will receive heaven. The unfaithful will receive hell. Jesus answered the unfaithful servant, calling him wicked and lazy, and saying, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. The wicked and lazy servant had not in any way multiplied the Lord's gifts to him. This reveals that he had no faith in Jesus. He did not know him and had no desire to serve him. Therefore, that which was given to him will be taken away. You find that in Matthew chapter 28. In application, the faithful servants were rewarded with increase in abundance. Those people knew, loved, and served Jesus. In contrast, the wicked and lazy servant will be cast into the darkness. They will be judged and found wanting. Matthew 25:29-30. For to everyone who has faith, and you know faith equals knowledge, belief, and trust, more will be given, and he will have abundance. And I'm talking about saving grace and eternal life. But from him who does not have faith in Jesus, okay, this lack of faith was demonstrated by the servant not knowing who Jesus is. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Lord have mercy. What the Lord had given to him had been taken away, was taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant, and the servant was cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you something, son. whatever your purpose is, whatever your call may be, it's not for you to be looking around and trying to decide who's worthy of what gift or what purpose. It's our job to want to live our lives right now so that we will know that we're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because we want to run this race in a way that souls will be saved to the day, to the end. We want to run this race in a way that God will be pleased with us and will remain pleased with us. We don't want to get tired halfway through the race. We don't want to get weary of doing good. We don't want to get fed up with helping people and serving whatever our purpose is. And remember, God's purposes do not always have to be inside of the church. And let me tell you something, when we do not carry out our purpose, when we do not operate in the position that God has put us in, the people around us suffer. The church suffers. Baby Christians suffer. So we need to live our purpose. We need to walk in it. We need to live in righteousness. We need to live out this word out loud. We need to stop running around being so concerned about what we're being called and be more concerned about our calling. Because when we get to the kingdom of God, Jesus is not going to say, "Well done, Apostle Holloway. Well done, Bishop Cook. Or well done, Prophetess Holloway. Or well done, Mother Shirley." He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So no matter what you call yourself or you allow other people to call you, you better really get that servant's heart. If you want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," then you need to go out and multiply everything that God has given you. If he's given you compassion, you need to go out and pour out that compassion on everybody that you meet, the same way Jesus has poured it out on you. If God has been good to you and he's gracious unto you, you should be going out showing other people that same grace so that they might turn around and be gracious unto someone else. Everything that we do, everything that God has us doing is for the purpose of building up his kingdom. It's not about our reputations. It's not about titles. It's not about being seen as being perfect. It's not about even being seen as being spiritual. It's about being, knowing God, knowing that you are his faithful servant. You're his faithful servant when nobody is looking. You're his faithful servant without being on a program. You're his faithful servant in the midnight hour, with tears in your eyes because somebody has hurt you, but you're praying for them. You're his good and faithful servant, hallelujah, in the noonday, when you can see the storm clouds on the horizon, but you break out in a holy praise. You're his faithful servant. Every time you demonstrate his love, his character to others, and through that others come into relationship with him. When you live you let your light so shine so that others might see your good works, and our Father in heaven is glorified. Hallelujah. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fret, and you just need to know that you have not seen anything yet, because you will hear the Heavenly Father say, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen, and to God be the glory. Well, that's my teaching for on tonight.
And I pray that what you take away from this is we don't need to be comparing ourselves. We don't need to be putting ourselves down. We don't need to do anything but trust God and walk in the purpose that he has called us to. Hallelujah. Now, if you have a comment or question, you are more than welcome to ask it at this time. Hallelujah. If you are in the studio, if you would kindly press your 1, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you are in either of the 3 chat rooms, if you kindly begin to type your comment or question at this time, and I will answer it for you to the best of my very ability. We do have Apostle and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, the Holloways in the house, and I always like to give them honor and give them a moment to speak. So at this time, I'm going to turn the mic over to them, and I'm going to let them both have a word about tonight's lesson. Amen. Good evening, and God bless you both.
God bless you, Bishop. It was a wonderful lesson. I really enjoyed that lesson because what I hear is we must be found faithful over the things that God has given us to do. Don't worry about somebody else's yard. Some of us are busy looking at the grass on the other side. Looks like the grass is greener, but you don't know if you get over there. There's a hole out there somewhere. You wouldn't be able to take it.
Come on.
But God anoints you for your own area, your own faithfulness. And as we, you know, stay in God and stay in the will of God, and sometimes we have to pray and cry our way through, but we coming out. We coming out with a high hand, and we coming out with joy unspeakable and full of glory in Jesus. So it was wonderful. It was about being willing and obedient, and we will eat of the good of the land. God is so good. Here's Apostle.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. That was beautiful.
We give God praise, glory, and honor. We thank God for the teaching tonight. It was wonderful. God is looking for faithful servants.
Yeah.
He grooms us. He grooms us from the time we are born all the way to all the way to our destiny. We have a destiny in the Lord. And yes, when we stand before Jesus, we want to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Like Bishop said, it's not about your title. That's just given to you. God knows who you are. And it's just to let folks know where you are at, but we are to do the work of the ministry. We get out there and get our hands dirty and get
there
and rub shoulders with the folks out there in the street.
Let's do it.
I know when we was in Stockton, it wasn't about what title I had or what title Prophetess had. We was out there feeding the homeless. We was church feeding the homeless and making sure people have what they need. And so it's going around picking up food for those that are homeless. So we got to do what we got to do.
According to
what God has ordered us to do. You don't have no throne to sit on.
You do
what God has called you to do, and you'll be okay. You're gonna make it through, and you will hear him say, "Well done." So if you're not doing it and you out there got your chest stuck out, you can be sure that you're gonna hear him say, "Work of iniquity, I knew you not."
Come on now.
We got to be very careful. You got to be very careful what God has called you to do. You got to do it.
Yes.
You got to do it. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I laugh a lot because I say the scariest words that a man or woman can ever hear is, depart from me, I know you not. And if we don't walk in the call that and the purpose that our Lord and Savior Jesus has given us with Holy Ghost boldness and conviction, hallelujah, that's exactly the words we will hear. Because like I said, God doesn't give us a purpose for us to sit around, like Apostle said, with our chest puffed out and have people calling us apostle or bishop or prophetess. No. We have been given a work to do. We must be about his business for his glory at all times. And we cannot compromise the gospel. We cannot drag so much of the world into the church. We have dragged so much of the world into the church. The church doesn't look like God's sanctuary anymore. So we need to be mindful, even as we carry out our purpose, that we stay in communication with God through the power of his Holy Spirit. Because even in all of our doing, let us do all things to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I want to let all of our listeners know that on yesterday, our wonderful apostle, Edwin Holloway, celebrated another year of life. And we just want you all to know we are praising God for that, and we are praising God for him. And we are just so blessed. We want him to know that we are blessed by his wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding, and his willingness to be obedient to God in all things at all times. So I just want to thank you, mighty man of God. I want to thank you for your servant's heart. I want to thank you for your humility. I want to thank you for your desire to reach the lost for the kingdom of God. And I pray that God will bless you with many, many more years to serve out your purpose with your beautiful wife, Prophetess Kathleen. This has been Taking It to the Streets. Hallelujah. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I pray that you have enjoyed tonight's program and that you have heard something that will truly bless you. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Have a beautiful and blessed rest of the week. Continue to follow us here at Spirit Alive Network. And from our house to your house, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, beloved. God bless you all. I love you all. God bless you. Thank you.
We love you too. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
God bless you.